Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon, and this surprise Friday episode actually is from a bummer moment, I guess you could say, from the U.S. Amateur round of 16. If you missed this, if you've been living under a rock in terms of the golf media world, the last day, maybe you missed what happened on Thursday night. This was, you know, West Coast prime time, a round of 16 matches at the U.S. Amateur, Bandon Dunes, and there was a young man from Argentina playing Tyler Strafossi in their match, and his name is Segundo Olivo Pinto, and he was two down with six holes to play, and he battles his way back. Winds were blowing. It was blowing like 35 miles an hour. Nobody was making any putts. Everybody was missing five-footers. It was plain brutal, and he clawed his way back into the match. He wins 16 with a par. They have 17, and we're all square going into the par 5 18th hole, and that's where all the drama started. Both players right up by the green in three, and Pinto was in the bunker, and Strafossi was just off the green. And unfortunately, Pinto's caddy, a young man named Brant Brewer, got into the bunker and tested the conditions of the sand with his hand and was caught on camera. And Tyler's dad ran over immediately, saw what happened, brought the rules official in. And of course, in match play, when something like that happens, it's loss of hole. And when you're playing the 18th hole, there's no more holes to make up room. So that's not just a loss of hole, but that was a loss of the match. So Strafossi moves on, you know, into the quarterfinals. And Pinto was left, you know, having to answer a whole bunch of questions, including questions for me about what happened. And I was offered the opportunity to have a chat with him about, you know, his approach following the drama, how he handled it so professionally and just so maturely. I know 20-year-old Shane Bacon would have had a chance to take a couple of minutes and at least answer the questions, you know, without having to throw anybody under the bus or just slip up and say something, because you'd be mad, you'd be upset, you'd be frustrated. And Segundo didn't do any of that. I was blown away by how gracious he was in his defeat and understanding the rules of golf and knowing that that's what it is. And sometimes stuff happens. And so when something bad goes down and you can find positive in it, you know, that's what I want to highlight in this sport. That's what I want to highlight in golf. I want to find the people that are either doing good or being good and presenting their story. And so this was an opportunity to do that. If you haven't seen what went down on 18, I will tweet this out as well at Shane Bacon and from the Clubhouse Pod account at the Clubhouse Pod. So I'll get that out for you guys. But I just figured this was a conversation worth having. And I thought people out there that have been consuming a lot of the information about everything that went down in the round of 16 match would have a chance to hear from the man himself. So that's what this is. Hope you guys are having a good week. Hope you guys have a good weekend. And we'll be back next week. But yeah, this was a surprise episode, and it's not overly long. I'm sure that's good for you guys, but I knew people would be excited about it. So here we go. And we welcome into the clubhouse a man that has been in the news the last day or so, not for anything he did or anything he didn't do, just for his great play and, of course, an unfortunate situation. Segundo Olivo Pinto, I appreciate you taking the time. I know, obviously, the last probably 12 hours have been an unbelievable whirlwind for you. What's it been like, basically, from yesterday afternoon into Friday?
Well, it's been pretty crazy getting all this message after the big situation that we had on 18 yesterday. All my friends and family and lots of other people were there to send for me and tell me how I managed the thing, the situation, that I did really well in it. So, I mean, I'm glad to see there's so many people out there supporting, supporting me, I guess.
And I want to get to obviously what happened, you know, on the 18th hole there at Bandon Dunes and everything. But before I do that, I try to be positive. It's one of the things that is one of the mantras I try to follow. So I wanted to first just focus on your week. This was your first U.S. Amateur, is that correct?
Yes, this is my first U.S. Amateur.
And you get a run into the round of 16. And I mean, even in the match that you lost to Tyler Strafossi, you were two down with six to play. You went a couple of holes to tie that match. and get it to the 18th hole. So if you would, can you just summarize the week, you know, what it was like to play in an amateur, what it was like to play the amateur at Bannon Dunes, and that round of 16 match where it looked like you were going to lose maybe a little quicker, and all of a sudden you battled yourself back into an all-square match with a hole to play?
Well, if you ask me where I wanted to play a USM before I even knew it was a Bannon Dunes, I would have said this place, because I've been here last year, and it's just my favorite golf resort ever. So I'm really glad I came. And the fact that I played the USM for the first time is great. Here, the competition is amazing. Everyone who is here deserves it, and they're all good players. So it was really nice to be up there fighting with the best guys in the world.
Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, just so you know, Bannon Dunes, also my favorite place in the world. I mean, I had my bachelor party there. I've been lucky enough to go, you know, probably a dozen times or so, just with friends and work and kind of everything that I do in my life. And it is one of my favorite places in the world. Does the golf course translate to your game? I mean, you're from Argentina. I know you played in Wilmington. You're at Arkansas now. Does that golf course, did it make sense to you when you first got a chance to play it? And is it one of those places that now you've fallen in love with the way the golf is in terms of kind of a links style?
So last year when I played, it was my first experience here in links as well. So it was kind of hard, like the first couple of rounds. But then after you start playing the course more and more, you start to make sense of what to do and what not to do. And I think links is the nicest style of golf courses.
It's the original style, right? I mean, that's what they play in Scotland, and that's what they play in Ireland. And now we get a chance to have kind of a traditional links style golf tournament. With COVID being around, what was the week like in terms of getting to Bannon Dunes, you know, having somewhere to stay, and also the process of getting a caddy? I mean, if this hadn't have been a COVID year, do you think you would have brought a friend to loop for you, or was always the plan to get somebody that maybe was a local that knew the area?
Well, I don't know. I guess I would probably brought a friend.
Okay.
It just things got complicated with COVID, with the testing and stuff. But I mean, having a local always helps, you know, especially in these type of courses that are unknown to most guys, because most of the guys haven't played a Bannon Dunes.
Yeah, you get a local caddy. Brant Brewer was his name, correct?
Yes.
And how did the process go about obtaining the caddy? Like, what did you have to do, and how did you guys meet, and was there initial kind of chemistry, friendship, whatever was going to go down with that?
So he was supposed to caddy actually for my teammate William Bull, but William, his dad was going to caddy for him, so there was like a confusion. And then I thought I could use a caddy, so I talked to him, and he took my bag. And I mean, he's a really nice guy. I really enjoyed playing around with him. He's a guy with a lot of passion, for sure. He's really passionate about what he does, and it's sad that what happened for myself and also for him, because his dreams of being a caddy tour just got shattered.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like you guys had maybe, it seemed like you guys were really getting along on the golf course, and it seemed like you two maybe had similar approaches to both golf, caddy, and the whole process. I mean, it seemed like you guys were really on the same page. At least that's what it looked like from TV.
Yeah, we were a good team, a great team, I think. He was really passionate, and he was trying to keep me fired up, and I think he did a really good job all week. Until the very last moment, but before that, it was great.
Yeah, and so now we'll go through 18. I just figured we can kind of step by step go through what happened. So, you know, you tie the match on 16. You guys have 17. You get to the par 5, 18th. 18 was playing into the wind, wasn't it? It seemed like that from the tee shots.
A lot. Yeah, I was playing like 40 miles an hour into the wind.
I was watching it with a friend of mine that had gone to Bannon once. He actually went with me for my bachelor party, and this was, I guess, 4 years ago. And not a great golfer. He's a guy that's passionate about the game, but not great. And he saw where y'all's tee shots were, and he goes, "That's where I hit my tee shot." And I go, "Yeah, they're playing into a 40-mile-an-hour wind, though. That's the big difference in you and them, is it's a little bit of a tougher hole." So tee shot, and you obviously had to lay up, and third shot goes in the bunker. And from TV, obviously before everything happened with the rules, it looked like you had a pretty you know, like tough, tight, just brutal lie in there. Did it look like as you were looking at the lie and everything that you were going to have to go through with that fourth shot, do you feel like it was a kind of a golf shot you were going to be able to get close?
To be honest, I felt like I had the upper hand with Tyler.
Okay.
I had a 20-yard bunker shot into the wind uphill. He had a downhill, downwind chip shot from the tie lie. So besides the lie of my on the bunker being pretty weird, I still felt that I had the upper hand.
And you also had the momentum. I mean, you had, like I said, you'd fought yourself back in the match. I mean, I'm assuming you get to that point thinking, you know, this guy had a 2-up lead. I didn't have the 2-up lead. Was that playing in at all?
Yeah, I think that was playing in at all. And it showed on 16 when he missed a short putt. I think I definitely had the advantage both shot-wise and momentum-wise.
So at what point, as you're looking at the lie, going up to the green, did you at all see Brandt messing with the sand, bending down? Did you see anything that would have given you hesitation? Like, what did my caddy just do?
No, to be honest, I don't. I'm usually not looking
right
at my caddy and trying to prevent him from doing something illegal. So I went to the flag, came back. As you can see on TV, I was checking the lie, grabbed a club, started doing swings. While I'm doing swings and trying to feel my shot, on TV they showed that on the side, Brandy's feeling the sand, and I didn't know. I didn't even see him. So I'm about to hit the shot, and then the referee comes and he asks my caddy, "What do you do?" And I'm like, "What did he do?" So I had no clue. And then, well, Strafasi's dad stepped in and started making accusations, and then they told me that it was pretty clear on TV. So I mean, there's nothing I could do at that point. But I accept the fact that I was down for a tournament.
At what point during all of that did you realize internally, damn, I just lost this match? I mean, at what point during the process of the ref and the caddies having the conversation did you know this is it? This is over. I mean, this is match play and it's a loss of hole.
Yeah, when the referee said we have it on TV and it's pretty clear. And I realized that it was a loss of hope because I had match players. So, I mean, I just took off my hat and shook his hand.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
You mentioned, you know, the text messages you've received, you know, the messages on social media. I mean, it's been very positive. I mean, I think people have really appreciated and respected the way you handled the situation. What I think I found so impressive, you being such a young man, is the way you handled it initially. I mean, everybody can take 5, 10, 20 minutes, you know, take a couple of deep breaths and walk back out and have a conversation about it. But I mean, you got interviewed right there about what went down and you didn't, you know, you didn't throw Brandt under the bus. You were just very respectful of the whole situation. How were you able to do that? Because if I was you in my 20-year-old self, I'm not sure I would have been able to handle it the way you handled it. I know I wouldn't have been able to handle it the way you handled it.
Yeah, to be honest, everything happened so quick. I just didn't have any time to think. I was just, you know, being myself, I guess. So I try to look at the positive things of the week. I mean, I had a great time this week, regardless of the ending. So I guess that's what showed up in my interview after the great week that I had.
Did you have a conversation at some point after everything settled, the dust settled? Did you ever have a chance to chat with Brandt and just kind of go through what went down on his side?
Yeah, I called him after. And he was really, really sad about what happened. He was apologizing to me. He wanted to win as much as I did. As I told you, he's a really passionate guy. So he was all about winning the trophy. And he was as upset as someone can be for the situation that happened. He obviously didn't do it on purpose. He didn't know the rule. That's a problem.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's the thing that people have been a bit confused about, is you've got
you know, a young man that is caddying in an enormous championship. I mean, it's the oldest championship in American golf. And, you know, he does something wrong on the last hole, and he's the guy everybody's blaming. And what I think, A, we were talking about the way you handled it. You're not blaming him, which takes, you know, a higher road approach. And secondly, he obviously is upset at himself for what went down. But what seems like has been the case is Brandt didn't know he was doing something wrong. I mean, is that fair to say about what he was doing in the bunker?
That's what I think when I look at the videos, because he called me when I called him. He said, I can go in the bunker and just stand there. And he thought that if he could stand on the bunker, he could also touch the sand. So, I mean, for anyone who competes in golf, it's pretty easy to say that that's not actually illegal. But it was his first major championship. He's only been caddying recreational. So, I mean, he just didn't know.
And you looking back on the week, you know, you make it to the round of 16, you have a chance to advance into the quarterfinals, you're playing Bandon Dunes, you're playing a U.S. amateur, you're representing Argentina. I mean, it's all these things that you had the opportunity to do at such a young age. When you look back a year from now, 2 years from now, what will you take away from this week in terms of who you are, the type of player you are, and who you'll be as you move forward?
I don't know. I guess I'll call you back in 2 years and I can talk about it.
We'll do it in 2 years. We can do it in 2 years. Maybe we're having this conversation without the rules thing about the Masters or the U.S. Open, you know? I mean, that might be our conversation in 2 years, you know?
Hopefully. I mean, I'm just gonna keep doing my thing and keep trying to get better and come back next year and win this tournament.
Growing up in Argentina, I can only imagine that you had some heroes you looked up to in the golf world. Who is somebody that either got you interested in the game or somebody that you looked at as that's who I want to be at some point as a golfer and as a person?
Well, the one who got me interested in the game is my dad. We would just go play every afternoon until dark, even in the winter, you know, when it was freezing, and he would just be next to me, and we were just walking balls. So he's kind of like my hero that way. But the guy that I wanted to be always has been Angel Cabrera. You know, 2-time major champion. He's a beast. And I just try to do what he does out on the course.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I'm assuming your age, you probably were a kid when he won at Oakmont, right? I mean, you had to have been a young kid getting a chance to watch this guy battle Tiger Woods at Oakmont. And then, of course, you know, in the playoff at the Masters, I mean, these are the two biggest events in the world, and this guy wins both of them. He had to have been an inspiration for the country. I can only imagine that there's probably a big golf contingent from Argentina that saw what he did and said, I can do that as well.
Yeah, he's from my hometown as well. We're actually from the same golf club. So we played before we both came in the same plane to the U.S. on July this year. And we talked a lot. He shared a lot of good stories that I learned a lot about. And yesterday he texted me. He was actually watching the match. And he texted me. He told me not to worry about that. I have a huge career ahead of me and that this is just starting.
Outside of Cabrera texting you, who else that... What people would know, you know, maybe of that's famous or a golfer or something like that. Who else randomly has sent you a note about everything that went down over the last day?
I truly don't know. I just got so many messages I haven't checked right now. Like my phone has been blowing up for the past 12 hours, but I haven't been able to check anything because I've been trying to get relaxed and get away a little bit from the situation.
Where have you been? Are you still abandoned dunes? Have you left? What's the next plan?
No, I love this place, man. I'm staying today to play another round.
Nice.
Maybe Olmec or Sheep Ranch. I don't know.
You're going to go play some more golf. I love it. So maybe Sheep Ranch, maybe Old Mac, maybe both.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to play a match against my teammate, Julian Perica. That's going to be the real match. We're going to be streaming in live.
We might have to see if NBC can send a camera over and get a feel for how the battle goes. I was out there. I guess I was out there 2 months ago and got a chance to play Sheep Ranch a couple times. And let me just say, make sure your phone's charged because you're going to be taking a pretty good amount of pictures and videos as you play that place. The views there are absolutely ridiculous. But it's been a crazy, like I said, last day. I know it's been a crazy last few hours. I appreciate you taking just a few minutes to talk about it. I always am impressed by young people that can handle stuff like an adult. And I think I speak for everybody in the golf world when I say that is maybe the lightest way of approaching what you did. You handled it with grace and dignity. You were kind to somebody that I think a lot of people maybe would have been upset with. So, you know, this is one of those moments that while it can be a negative, you know, losing a golf match is never a positive. But I feel like when you look at the bigger picture, you know, this could be one of those moments that you can really look at and go, I grew from this. You know, I learned from this, and other people watching will do the same. So I think you pat yourself on the back and say good job, because, you know, not everybody leaves an event a winner, but I feel like you're leaving this event a winner in a certain way. So I appreciate you just being the guy you are, man. It was great to see, you know, something positive out of a tough situation.
Well, thank you very much for the compliment. Yeah, you've been so nice to me. It was really nice talking to you.
And yeah, we're excited to see. Maybe you and Angel will be flying in a plane together to major championships and beyond. You know, you never know. I mean, that's if you got a buddy. Let me say, this is a little piece of advice I'm going to give you that I'm at 36 years old, still haven't accomplished. But if you've got a friend that has a private plane or flies private, be really good friends with that guy. That's way better than everything else. So just don't ever mess that relationship up. You always want to keep that going. You know, yeah, I'll fly with you. Sure, that sounds great. So. There you go. You already have you're one up on me in our life match, you know?
All right. Well, thank you very much for the piece of advice. I'll keep that in mind.
Write that down.
I'll try to text someone who has a private jet as if they want to be my friends.
Awesome. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you calling me. It's been a great talk.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. A big thanks to Segundo for coming on. A big thanks to the USGA for helping out, including Robbie Zelsnick, who was so gracious in setting this up. Thank you guys for listening. And make sure, if you could, if you've got 2 minutes, just send the young man a thank you. Send the young man a congrats. Send the young man an attaboy. I can't stress how important it is to hear those things when something devastating in your career happens. You know, I mean, he's young, he's going to be a junior in college, but this was a chance. I mean, you're playing in a championship where history has been made, and history is made every year. You know, this is a championship where the trophy says Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, and that is just naming a very small legion of legends that have won this championship and the Havemeyer Trophy. So to have a chance to be in that round of 16 and to have a legit chance of continuing to move on and potentially get into the finals, you know, and get a Masters invite and a U.S. Open invite and to maybe win this thing and forever be known as U.S. amateur champion, that's a huge deal. And so, you know, losing a match because of a rules infraction is a bummer. And luckily, we have a young man that handled it graciously and handled it the right way. So thank you guys for listening. Always appreciate it. We'll be back next week. We got David McClay Kidd coming on early next week. Just to recap, Bannon Dunes highlighted, you know, a USGA championship and a US amateur. You know, his baby, his beauty. I've chatted with him a little bit via text and excited to talk to him. I've never had him on, so that'll be fun. So that is early in the week. Just kind of talking about what it was like to see Bannon Dunes showcase this way. And yeah, so that'll be next week. But enjoy your weekend. We'll be back very soon. The Clubhouse with Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.